Welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Suzanne Mutian sitting in for Steve Bertrand, and we have a jam-packed show today. We're going to be talking in a little bit to brothers, Nick and Dan. I'm going to get to their last names later because one of them is very long, but he's given us the benefit of just calling him Nick Sky. And they're the founders of Change, which is an app that helps pay back student loans. You saw them on Shark Tank last month. And one of my favorite guests is going to be in the studio. We share a last name, Arthur Mutian. That's my dad. And he's going to be schooling us on whether or not it's a good idea from the employer's perspective or the students to take unpaid internships. So if you're curious, you'll want to keep listening in. But first, in the studio, one of my favorite new entrepreneurs, and I say new just because she has recently opened up a fantastic company called Ezza, which is a nail company. So this is Allie Brewer. She came out of Chicago Booth and with one of her fellow students opened up. It's not just a nail salon, though. So I want to really get Allie in talking about everything she knows and how she's the solving the problem of women on both sides of the table. Allie, welcome.
Hi.
I just saw you on Friday.
You did. How did you like your experience?
I loved it. I went in. I figured that if I was going to have Allie on the show, I should at least go and be a customer. And I loved it. So let's start actually with the big picture.
Sure.
Just talking to us a little bit about what is happening in the nail industry. I think so many people out there see the salons on every corner, but what trends are you seeing in the big picture of the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, there's been a lot of innovations in products like the new dip powder and nail art. But what I think is really interesting to talk about is the change that we're seeing in why women are going and getting their nails done. Every year, year after year, we have more women entering the workforce working full time. And these women are using manicures in particular as a part of their professional uniform. So they're investing in manicures as a part of their grooming maintenance, much like a haircut. Rather than this like luxurious, relaxing, pampering experience that women used to do in the past.
I think that's true of the women that I know. It's just a matter of what you do in your week. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's almost a little bit confusing because is it just a maintenance and I want to get in and out in 30 minutes? Or do I want to have that be a little bit of downtime, right? I think some women do want both. But the trend, I think, is absolutely there for women to just have this on their schedule every single week.
Absolutely. We're definitely seeing that, especially with this working professional on-the-go woman.
So tell me, what led you to think that there was a problem in the industry that you needed to solve? I mean, just as quick background on Allie, she was in the Teach for America Corps. She has an MBA from Chicago Booth. So in theory, you could do all sorts of things from a career point of view. Why this industry and what was the problem that you felt needed to be solved?
Absolutely. So when I started business school at University of Chicago Booth, I started to get my nails done more often. And there are so many nail salons around the corner from where I live in Old Town. So I thought it'd be pretty easy to find my go-to place.
Right.
I was very wrong. I very, very quickly learned that women have two options for nail care. She can either go to the luxurious salon that's really time-consuming and expensive, or she can go to the neighborhood salon. That's where you never know what you're going to get.
What is the average price of a nail of a manicure today?
It depends on what city you are in, and it also depends on where you're going. So if you're going to kind of a local neighborhood salon, or if you're going to more of a luxurious spa.
Yep. So you saw that it was hard to find a place that was reliable, cost effective, and also clean. I know that's been a big issue, sanitary, all that.
Yes. And I started to ask my girlfriends, do you have these issues? And they're like, yes, I have to bring cash for a tip. I never have cash. I always have to call to make an appointment. And so I saw a huge opportunity on the customer side to build a new option in nails that really addressed the needs of this modern professional woman.
And when I walked into the salon, there was a lot of messaging going on. Mm-hmm. It was very female empowerment messaging, which I loved it as a customer. But tell me what's behind that. What's the real sort of purpose behind that messaging?
Yeah. So our mission and vision is to empower women on both sides of the manicure table. So on one hand, our customer giving her the better option in nails. But on the other hand, we want to empower our technicians. And that is a very, very big inspiration to why we started Ezza. You mentioned that I'm Teach for America alum, so I'm very purpose and mission driven. And I ended up going to nail school while getting my MBA.
Which I have to say, the woman who was giving me my manicure thought that was really impressive, that you had not only taken the time to learn about the industry, but had actually gone to school yourself.
And it was very eye-opening. So I really wanted to better understand, what does the training look like? What does the preparation for being a nail technician look like? And it was very disappointing. You don't even have to give a manicure to get your license.
Wow.
Yes.
You're kidding.
It's incredible. You would think that you would have to give a manicure, but you don't.
I think that fact is going to be shocking to women who hear this.
And so the education and preparation is almost non-existent. Nail technicians don't have that, so they're not set up for success. And that's a big problem. So me coming from the education background, I see a huge opportunity to elevate the industry and to give our nail technicians the actual resources and training that they need in order to do their jobs well.
And how much time are you putting into that? I mean, is that a big part of the experience of onboarding your employees?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the part about the empowerment that you originally asked about, is we want our customers to feel empowered in our space. So a experience that perfectly meets their needs, actually, as it comes from the Italian word esatto, meaning exactly. So we want to get it exactly right for you, but also for our technicians as well, so that they're prepared to meet the specific needs of our customers.
And no pedicures, which I found interesting.
No pedicures.
Why no pedicures?
It's a different type of service. So women are investing in manicures as a part of their grooming maintenance because your hands are on display all the time at work. And so you're viewing, manicures are just a different type of service. Pedicures are more luxurious and more pampering.
And do you think that as the women empowerment movement continues to grow, that there'll be any pushback from women on, why do I need to look so nice and have my nails done? Or do you see manicures as a form of empowerment?
I do. So we've interviewed so many women, and they say, when I look down at my nails and I have a great manicure, I feel polished, I feel put together, and I feel ready for my week. And so we talk about manicures is not just manicures. We are selling confidence, and we're giving women that confidence, and we're so excited to build a business around that.
It's funny. So Rachel Bello, my business partner, and I talk all the time about the fact that no matter how bad our week is going, and in some ways, the more out of control it is, the more we're craving a manicure, mm-hmm. because it's just that one thing that's not so expensive that you can do yourself that absolutely makes you feel like you have yourself together.
Absolutely. It really is a part. It's like your armor, a part of your professional uniform.
Well, I love it. And so there's one salon. Where's the one salon?
It's literally right around the corner. Yeah, 240 East Illinois.
And people can find it online. If they want to learn more, where would they go?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can Google us. We have a website, www.ezzanails.com. We're on Yelp, too, and Google.
Allie Brewer, founder, co-founder of Ezza. Who's your co-founder?
My co-founder is Kim Marsh.
Is Kim. So we're so glad to have you. I love my manicure. Thank you for doing what you're doing for women.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
It's awesome.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand on 720 WGN.
So we are now back in the studio, and I have one of my favorite guests, and I don't just say that because he's my dad, but he is. I figured that you would...
Excuse me.
I figured that you would probably get the Mucian connection, as most people would. So, Dad, we are in here talking about a topic that I know is near and dear to your heart and mine, which is the question of unpaid or paid internships. And so I'm curious, because I've heard you on this topic before, as to whether or not you think that the new DOL regulations are going to change anything, or have changed your opinion about whether or not this is a good idea.
It really, the new regulations really, I think, have made it much more difficult for employers to consider granting unpaid internships. The fact of the matter was, the old rules were very specific. There were a lot of cases on it. There were a lot of discussions about how you could pass the test. The new rules are so up in the air. There's not enough background. There's not enough experience. And worse, that your decision, the decision as to whether or not what you're doing is lawful – is going to be decided by some investigator who is going to look at one of the seven tests that are out there now and decide you make your business decision for you, which I think is terrible.
So you're talking about it from the side of the employer.
Correct.
Okay. So if I'm a mom and I have a child, let's say, who's college age, and she's looking at an internship in her area of study, and they tell her, we'd love to have her, but it's unpaid. What do I tell her?
Well, the first thing is, assuming it's unpaid, as you just did, what are you going to tell the next person that you are interviewed by as to what you did there? What exactly, what skills did you get? What did you gain? Why are you a better person or an employee than you were before by having this unpaid internship? Don't tell me it's just fun. You learned a lot about the industry. What skills did you really get out of this? And could you have gotten similar skills by working at Starbucks? Could you have gotten similar skills by working at any other job, a grocery store? I mean, there are a lot of advantages working for somebody who's just going to require you to punch a time clock, to be there, to work with team members, to work with the public. There are a lot of advantages to almost any job.
And you really believe that as an employer. So you're now of counsel at Lehner Mutian. I'm guessing that you get a lot of your clients asking or exploring these questions. Do you really believe that for them, the choice is we must pay because of the law? Or do you think that they are paying because they think it's the right thing to do?
No, I think I'm telling them they should be paying because two things. One, legally, why have the risk? Why have any risk at all from a 20-year-old or 22-year-old or 23-year-old who ultimately may decide he's going to sue you? It makes no sense. But the other thing is, how valuable is the person to you if you're not willing to pay the money? We're talking minimum wage here. We're not talking a lot of money. And when I ask those two questions, the reality is most employers say, you know what? I'm just going to pay him or I'm not going to hire him.
Right. It seems not worth it. Why would you want to put yourself in that position, right? Because to your point, it's not a lot of money.
Exactly.
And I'm wondering if now we have young people listening to us and hearing your advice, and they get told by their potential summer employer that it is unpaid, do they push back? Do they have a right to push back, and how should they do that?
Well, they clearly have a right to push back. I think the question that they need to ask is, what am I going to be doing? Is my work valuable to you? Is the work that I'm doing really valuable to me? And remember, the unpaid internship issue is that the work is supposed to be valuable to the intern, not to the company.
That's the standard?
And it's a balancing test.
But is that still true with these new DOL?
With the new regulations, it's a balancing test as to who gets the economic benefit.
And so if you're given real work, so let's say they're in the marketing department and they're working social media, a job that somebody else would have otherwise had to do in their marketing department, is that a criteria for paying?
Well, that's a criteria for considering whether to pay.
Okay.
And whether or not they are displacing somebody is really the issue. The new rules allow you to have somebody who is who's working there similarly and learning about in the same manner as if they were in school. What is the benefit that person is getting?
So as your final word of advice, let's just assume your granddaughter was applying for an internship and they said to her, you know, we can't pay you, but we'll give you school credit.
Well, school credit is an interesting topic. First question is, do you have to pay for that that credit?
Well, right. Sure, you're paying tuition.
You're paying tuition. And the question is, that at least has some value to you, and it moves you along the path toward a job. Those programs are not necessarily that easy to get.
Arthur Mutian, that's all the advice we can get from you today. But thank you so much for coming in.
Am I allowed to say love you? Thank you.
Love you. Thank you for coming in. I know you always have just a little bit of an opinion on all things that I ask you. So we will be back after this break, returning with Dan Stelmach and Nick Skye, who are the co-founders of Changed. You might have seen them on Shark Tank, who are going to be talking to us about their app that will help students pay back loans. Maybe that's good to have them on after my dad. So we're going to take a quick break and come back shortly.
No. now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
Except for it's not Steve Bertrand, it's Suzanne Muchen. So I'm going to need to get my own bump, Bennett, so that I sound a whole lot more important here. So welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch. We still have music playing, but we're good? Okay. I have two brothers with me who I saw on Shark Tank live on January 28th. They are the founders of an app called Change. This is Dan Stelmack and Nick Skye. They're also housed at 1871 and at the Polsky Center. And I am fascinated by the problem that they're solving. And I'm really excited that we have some time to talk about it because it's a huge issue in America. So first of all, guys, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Suzanne, thank you for having us. Yes. Super excited to chat.
Good. Well, I'm excited too. So first of all, let's just start at the top. How big of a problem is the student loan issue?
So it's massive. Just to throw some stats out there, it's the second largest national debt in this country. It sits at over $1.4 trillion. That's trillion with a T. The average student loan borrower owes over $37,000 when they graduate, and it affects over 44 million Americans.
That's insane. And are you talking about just college students, or does that include grad students also?
College and grad students. Grad students are actually holding a lot more debt, obviously, and it's really hard to pay that off when the interest rates are at the rates that they're at and the balances are so, so high.
And nothing has happened in the last, let's call it, decade that has really changed this or made it any easier for students. Is that right?
I mean, one thing has changed. I mean, the cost of tuition has gone through the roof. It's so expensive. I watched this video where Mike Rowe was talking about how he paid through his own college just by like working odd jobs. You can't do that anymore.
Right.
When tuition's $50,000 a semester, you have to borrow money.
Yeah. And today, 7 out of 10 students leave school with some type of debt. So that's 70%. Of your today's graduate.
And how long does it typically take someone to pay off that kind of debt?
We found this fascinating, right? So you borrow student loans when you're around 18 years old. It's your first relationship with debt.
Right.
And on average, people are paying them off into their mid-40s. It's a lifelong debt. It's like a mortgage, essentially, that you're paying off.
And it's a debt you can't escape. You can file for bankruptcy, but your student loans stay with you.
And don't you think most students, when they're 18, they just want to go to school? I mean, they're not really thinking long term and trying to calculate it out and how much are they going to need to earn, right?
No, exactly. And like, there is some education around it, but not enough, right? It obviously has to start there. It has to start in high school. Your parents have to be involved. Everyone has to be a part of this student loan debt, you know, taking it on and then paying it off. It's a family affair, right? And, you know, you're not expecting to pay this off into your mid-40s, and you're 18 years old,
right.
You want to get an education and get a good job, so you have to borrow money. It's kind of a necessity.
And you go to school to follow your dreams or follow your dream career, but then when you graduate, you're stuck with a payment for the next 25 years.
And it starts immediately after graduation.
There's
Do you have usually, any lag
yeah.
time?
There's
yeah.
usually a six-month grace period after you graduate.
For most federal loans, that
yeah.
is. So if you have a private loan, some students actually have to pay while they're in school.
And it's actually best to make small payments while you're in school. And that's kind of what we're hoping to do with Change, is allow people to make these small payments while you're still in school. Because you don't really feel these small, change roundups coming out of your account. But, yeah.
Perfect. So let's use that to talk about the app. So you two, your brothers.
Yes.
Different last names, but brothers.
Yes, yes.
I'm sure you get asked
mother,
that.
Different last names. Yeah.
Got it. You would know by looking at you right when you walked in spite of the head shave on Nick. You're good.
Yeah.
So you saw the problem, felt the problem. Is that right?
Yeah. So yes. Both Dan and I have student loan debt, and Dan actually came to me with this idea.
Yeah. After graduating from college, I spent about 3 years making payments towards my student loans and noticed that it's not really making a dent in it.
Yeah.
And I literally told myself something has to change, and that's kind of where the idea sparked.
And how did you think about this whole rounding up? And can you explain that, how the app actually works?
Yeah. So what the idea was is to help people save without the need to budget, right? Because it's, especially after you graduate college, you're trying to find a job, you're trying to find an apartment. If you're lucky enough to look for a home right after college, sure, but like that's very rare.
Right, very rare, right.
So we wanted to find a system that would align with people's natural spending and like reduce the need to budget. So how change works is we essentially link your main spending account, and then we start analyzing your transactions and rounding them up to the next dollar. So on average, people save around $30 to $50 a month in spare change roundups, which seems like a lot, but like it's coming out in such small increments that you don't really feel it, and you can live your life, because it's foolish to say that you're going to stop spending. You can't spend, you need to save, and you need to do all this, but you need to buy gas, you need to pay your rent, you need to purchase things to live your life. So we want to help take care of the student loan debt while you live your life and, you know, become financially stable.
Yeah, and once you, well, how change works is you accumulate all this change, we also automate the payment for you. So you don't even have to think about it.
Wow.
You input your student loan information. We have payment partnerships with about 90% of student loan servicers out there. So you're just using this app. There's no button to hit. There's no sacrifices to make during your budget. We just send that payment for you.
And is it correct that your change has to add up to $100 and at that point a payment gets made?
Yeah. So how it works is your change accumulates, and then once you accumulate at least $5 in change from your bank account, we make a transfer from your bank account to an FDIC-insured changed account. And that money sits in there until you reach $100. So like I said before, people are saving $30 to $50 every month. You could expect a payment to go out from that FDIC-insured changed account to your student loan servicer automatically without having to think about it, which is the best part.
Okay, so just to play devil's advocate for a second. So how long, or I guess I should take it from the other side, which is how much decrease do you believe there's going to be in terms of the length of time people are paying back their loans? Or is that not really the point?
No, that's the point.
Okay.
We want to get people out of debt sooner.
And how much sooner are you guys going to do that?
It's amazing how these small extra payments make a difference. So if you start right after you graduate and you sign up for change, you send these payments, and you have, let's say, a 25-year loan, which is quite standard at like a 6.8% interest rate, you can knock up to 14 years off of that loan. And
$14,000.
I was trying to calculate the 14 years and thinking that sounds longer.
Average student loan of $37,000 on a 25-year repayment plan, you can save up to $14,000 in interest in about 5 years just with your spare change. And this is kind of what we also wanted to mention, which is an awesome feature that we're working out and we've had a lot of attention, is our friends and family feature,
right?
Which can be super powerful for current students, because we understand students are on a budget. And we always say our mom could never write us a $10,000 check, but she would spare her change every day to help us get out of
debt.
Well,
look,
sooner.
I find when I go to, you know, grocery shop at Whole Foods, mm-hmm. or the kind of rounding up system, which is pretty brainless. I mean, if they ask you at checkout, would you like to round up to the nearest dollar? I would think most people wouldn't really flinch at that,
absolutely.
Especially if it's about paying back student loans.
Yeah.
And those savings that we mentioned, you can pretty much multiply them if you can talk your mom or your husband or wife into rounding up their spare change.
Yeah, and it is. It's just a very simple decision. But like, even though it's so, like, we take care of that decision for you, you know?
Right. It seems pretty mindless. I mean, I have to ask maybe an obvious question, but who would say no to this? I mean, I'm not saying to pitch, but I'm just saying, honestly, who would not use this?
I mean, we haven't had any people say, oh, this doesn't make any sense. It's just really hard to think that this will make a difference. So that's what our goal is to explain to people that these small change roundups really do make a difference if you apply it towards these interest-bearing loans. And these are like big lifetime loans that you need to get out of your life.
We are going to keep talking because I know that the listeners probably have a lot of questions about the kind of behind the scenes of what goes on at Shark Tank. I've had Damon John on my podcast before, so I know a little bit, but I'd love to hear your story. So when we come back, we're going to hear more about their experience on Shark Tank, which did lead to an investment. That's not a spoiler alert because you probably already saw the show. So we're going to be back talking more to Dan and Nick of Changed in just a moment.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Minute, sharing the news and asking questions for small business owners. The food and beverage industry in the city is going crazy. The space has been booming in just the last couple of years, but the big guys are looking to get their hands on the goods, especially after success of Downers Grove-based Hearthside Food Solutions and RX Bar's $600 million buyout. So the question stands, can the big companies help further emerging industries? The CTA sure thinks so. The Chicago Transit Authority is dedicating themselves to work closer with disadvantaged business enterprises on the continuation of the Red Purple Modernization Project. With the project still only in phase one, it seems like there's a big window for opportunity here. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand on 720 WGN.
And it's Suzanne Muschen sitting in for Steve Bertrand. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. We are back and still talking to Dan and Nick from Changed, who are talking about their app that is sounds to me like an incredible solution for anyone with student loans. So right before the break, we were talking about this friends and family feature, which seems to me like a real opportunity for those go-getters to have everyone in their circle pay back their loan. So how does that work?
Yeah, so currently, friends and family can help borrowers with their debt by signing up and just adding their borrower student loan information. But we're working on building out a friends and family feature where it's a fully featured system where you can see how much everyone's helping, see how much faster your loan's getting paid off. And like you said, you know, if someone has that salesmanship and like the entrepreneurship bug in them, just go out there, convince your aunt,
uncles. I mean, honestly, why would you spend your summer doing those like painting things where you get all these people to paint houses? Go after your friends and family. I'm being so serious, Yeah. If you had like 10 or 20 of your friends and family.
Right. Yeah. And we were also thinking of like ideas as a graduation present. Instead of giving a gift, you know, contribute Change for a year. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be just as effective, and you're not going to spend it on something like, you know, a new camera or something. You're going to pay off your loans a lot sooner.
I was going to say, it's probably just as effective as getting a part-time job just to make extra payments.
Right? I'm telling you, I think this is the future for Changed, and the app is to get, you know, young people really excited about, you know, marketing this in some ways to their friends and family. I love it. So I do have to ask some of the questions about Shark Tank, because I know a lot of people, they watch the show, and what they see, this is the one thing I know, what they see is not entirely what goes on. So my understanding is that the biggest difference is that you guys are there for a whole lot more than the like 8 minutes that we see. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So before, there was a lot of waiting, and me and Dan were like prepping in the hotel room, going through our pitch and just kind of constantly repeating what we were going to say and just answering questions, asking each other questions that they might ask us.
Right.
Just kind of bouncing off of each other. And then once, like, we were super nervous right up until the point those doors opened, right? And then all of a sudden, we were there.
And do you hear the music, or do they lay that in after?
It's dead silent.
It's dead silent, right?
So we're just standing there. But, like, as soon as we got in front and it was our time to go, everything just flowed. Our pitch came out flawlessly. We felt we answered a lot of the questions very well. And the only thing that we feel we could have talked a little bit more about was this friends and family feature, right? Because I would have answered a lot of their questions.
And do you know which of the sharks are in the room before you even arrive?
Yeah, they give us a general idea of who they can be. Yeah.
Besides the guest shark
But do you do research then? Do you actually try to figure out what they funded before and who's most likely to fund you? Or are you not even thinking about that?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. A lot more time and attention goes into actually working and crafting on our pitch and going through some of the questions. We watched every single episode before we went on. I mean, I watched this in college. Like, in college, we were using this class in one of my entrepreneurship classes to, like, gauge and, like, critique the pitches. So, like, we were both super familiar with the show, and it was, like, a dream come true to be on it, right? But, yeah, we just kind of went out there and answered our questions. And
do they stop the tape ever, or are you just out there? Like, do they ever say, can you do that again and so rewind?
It was an hour and a half of filming, but only... You've only seen 10 minutes of it.
And there's no breaks. You just go.
And it felt like it was 15 minutes. We came back and they're like, yeah, you're on there for an hour and a half. Just your blood's just pumping through your body.
Wow.
So it doesn't feel as long as it really is.
And how do you feel in general? This is a moment that always bothers me. When a shark makes you an offer and then says, but you have to decide right now. Did that happen? I can't remember if that happened during your
pitch. We had, I mean, anyone who watched the show knows, we had two offers out there. And... we wanted an offer, we wanted a deal with Mark Cuban. That's who we went in there seeking. And there wasn't really any situation where we were forced to take the deal. Me and Dan just looked at each other for a second, did a little bit of whispering, and we're like, all right, let's do it. He nodded his head, and I think he was the one that said deal. And
sometimes it gets tough, but you just got to stay in your ground. And I mean, the nice thing about it was, I mean, everyone has this idea of, oh, you know, this is all kind of played out to be more entertaining. But the producers are actually saying, hey, this is your business, your company. you do what you want to do. I mean, obviously it's TV, you need to be entertaining, but...
But the entertainment also comes in the editing. I mean, you'd assume for an hour and a half there'd be a moment in there that was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Well, Dan and Nick, it's been really fun having you guys on. I'm a huge fan. Well, from the minute I saw you guys on the show, but I also know you're 1871, you're Polsky, you're Chicago guys. So good luck with all of this. And I'm telling you, come to me. I have 100 ideas about how to spread the word about this kind of family.
Let's chat. Yeah, let's keep in touch.
Like
and
incentives for them, bar mitzvah gifts.
Ooh. Bar mitzvah gifts.
Yeah, you can start them early and often.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
I'm in.